the measure of how just or sane or reasonable or sustainable or good or anything else that a society is not how it benefits me. So back in the 90s, I interviewed someone. I'm not going to say who it was because he's not the point. The point is the thing itself. I interviewed this guy who had written a bunch of books about how destructive industrial civilization is, how it's killing the planet, and how it is inherently alienating and creates, you know, sort of pseudo-humans. And when I got to interview him, it ends up that he had just written another book, and the interview was never published because it was not at all what I expected. And when I got there, he was all excited, and the entire interview was about how great industrial civilization is. And the difference, the thing that had changed his mind was, and he was quite explicit about this, was that he had had open heart surgery that had saved his life. And if he can have open heart surgery that saves his life, then obviously industrial civilization is miraculous because he would be dead without it. And this really took me aback for a number of reasons. The primary reason is that, of course, industrial civilization brings all sorts of positive material goods to those who are on the receiving end of the benefits. That's the point. But it does this at the expense of the world. And the measure of how just or sane or reasonable or sustainable or good or anything else that a society is not how it benefits me. Because if the primary measure of how good a society is how well it is, how it benefits those at the top of the culture's hierarchy, then of course a slave-based society is incredibly groovy because it brings, as a pro-slavery philosopher said, comforts or elegancies to the slave owners. And there's a larger question here too. I mean, that's a larger question. And there's a smaller question here too, which was absolutely horrifying to me to see a social critic so self-unaware that this social critic was basing his social analysis on whether it benefited him personally. I still, 20 years later, can't really wrap my mind around that. But the role of a social critic is to look at society the best that that person can and then make an analysis of society. Now, I would have had no problem if he would have said, you know, yeah, civilization is still inherently unsustainable. But I got to tell you, it was really nice to get that surgery and to live another few years. I don't have a problem with that at all. That, I mean, industrial civilization is unsustainable and it's killing the planet. But while it's here, hot showers feel pretty nice. And I am delighted to take a hot shower versus a cold shower. Or versus jumping into the pond. And we're going to make another leap here, which is that one of the reasons I wrote Endgame is, there's many reasons, but one of the reasons is that from, say, when The Language Older Than Words and Culture Make-Believe came out through when Endgame came out, I think in 2006. So it's from 2001 to 2006. I got a lot of notes from a lot of people who were upset because I love salmon and because I love the natural world. And they would say, you know, you really need to learn the Buddhist notion of non-attachment. You need to not be attached to the survival of the salmon. And one of the reasons that I got that so much, and it bothered me so much, that that's one reason I wrote the book. And that fits. I think they are completely misunderstanding the notion of non-attachment. I think where non-attachment does work, there are a couple places that it works. One is that ultimately we have to be not attached to our own lives because we do die. And well, no. We can be attached to our life. Of course we can. But we cannot be attached to the illusion that we live forever. There's a difference between being attached to your life and recognizing that you will someday die. And there's another part here too, which is that this is the proper use of this sort of non-attachment. I think the one I think about always is cars. That if I have an automobile and I live where there's not mass transit, if I have an automobile, yeah, I can drive into town to go to the grocery store. But I am not attached to having an automobile in that if car culture disappears, I will be delighted. I will use it while it's here, but I am not attached to it. And it's the same with everything else. There are modern medicines keeping me alive from modern diseases that are part of this culture, but there are modern medicines that are keeping me alive. And yes, I am going to continue to get them. Me not getting them would not stop this culture. But if there were the opportunity to stop this culture and it meant that I no longer got those medicines, which meant that I died, I would do it in a heartbeat. That's what non-attachment means. And one last thing on this, that maybe 15 years ago, I was at a talk and somebody asked me, you talk about removing dams. So would you take out a dam if you knew that taking out this dam would kill someone you love? And I said, let me get back to you on that. And then after the tour, I asked my mom, so if I had the opportunity to take out a dam and doing so would, protect the salmon run, but it would kill you, how should I have answered that question? And she said, you damn well better have said yes. And for me, that's proper non-attachment.